Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. This is episode number 99 of the show. We are one episode away from the magic 100. So we'll make sure next week's episode is extra special. Make sure to subscribe to the channel and be on the lookout for next week, our 100th episode of the podcast. As always, I'm Junkyard James, the host. With me, as always, Cody Marinara. Hope you've had a good week. Hopefully the sauce didn't spoil this week. How have you been, my friend?
It's been a wild, wild week, to say the least, friend. Been a little crazy, been a little wild, but we are here. We are in live and in living color. The sauce got a little bit spoiled a few hours ago when my college basketball team decided to take an absolute dog shit on the night, but you know what? It is what it is. It happens, I guess. Besides that, it's been a week. It has been a week, but we are here. We're doing good. The sauce is not totally spoiled. We're going to make sure that thing gets a little bit of freshness to it here. How in the hell are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Man, spring hit us quickly. If you hear me cough or play with this bag of cough drops I have, it's because my allergies are just off the charts the last couple of days. The pollen is back. It rained for about an hour at my job today, and it washed off the old pollen, and by the time I left work, my car was covered with
it. Got worse.
And so the pollen is back. It's springtime when the Canadian geese are flying all over the place here in North Carolina. Springtime is here. I'm happy that it's warm and it's not 8,000 degrees below zero. It's been a pretty good week. Speaking of below zero, what's going on in Omaha, Nebraska last night? A foot of snow, and from what I heard today, it was like 80 degrees there today. So just wild weather in Nebraska.
I think they had to deal with severe weather last week. Some tornadoes were in the area, and severe weather, and then snow and 80 degrees in 24 hours. I mean,
Wild times. And of course, yeah, the snow would hit the day of an AEW show. I mean, even the weather is a WWE mark. I'm messing. Y'all, speaking of WWE, check the link in the description. See, I had it planned out perfectly, the lead into this transition. WWE Shop is an affiliate partner. Check out the link in the description. We're just a few weeks away, about a month or so away from WrestleMania, and the road to WrestleMania is ramping up. John Cena has some new merch. If you want to support that terrible excuse of a heel, you can go ahead and... I'm sorry. He says he's not a heel. He's a human being.
He's a human being.
I'm sorry. He's not a heel. But you can get his merch or Cody Rhodes, everybody's favorite super baby face, Cody Rhodes. All that merch on the WWE shop. Use the link in the description and help support that podcast. Same thing with our next affiliate sponsor, StubHub. Link is in the description. Baseball season is 1 week away in the United States. If you're following the Japan series, I think the Dodgers are beating the absolute hell out of the Chicago Cubs this week. Get your tickets to opening day baseball. I wish I could go to the Braves opening day game, but it's in San Diego, California, and I'm not flying all the way across the country to watch them.
That's the site of where season ended last year. Great to start off on a great note.
Absolutely. And let me get the Dodgers after. We might start 0-6 this year. No, I'm just kidding. We should win a couple of those games. But buy your tickets to the MLB games that are opening up this week or next week. And any of the other sporting events, hockey's looming into the playoffs. NBA's coming closer to the playoffs. And so
I do believe there is, because I briefly mentioned the monstrosity that happened early this afternoon with my college basketball team. There is something going on this weekend and into the next few weeks as well. So
March Madness, yep.
Ticket prices are only going to get up, and
the further you wait,
some affordable type tickets, use StubHub.
That's right. Get that link in the description box there. And then finally, our good friends over at Dubby giving us the affiliate link. Use the code Beyond the Yard at W.GG. You shop, you get whatever you want. You can get the shaker cups, the merchandise. I think they may have the cans out of stock still, but last I checked, they were still on the website, the pre-mixed cans. But you get the shaker bottle and the energy mix and 10% off your order and help support the podcast there. We were talking about March Madness, and it's bracket season, it's tournament season, and that is also included in AEW. Look, this episode of AEW was so jam-packed with things to talk about, I couldn't leave it to just one high or low segment. So this entire episode is just going to break down the biggest moments of AEW, because there's a lot to talk about for a show that was almost pay-per-view-esque. There wasn't a whole lot of backstage segments or whatnot. There was a lot of stuff that was going on in the ring. And so we start off with the bracket, the conclusion to the Dynasty tournament to fight Kenny Omega at Dynasty, the winner of the four-way match. And interesting finish. We get a double pin with Ricochet and Speedball Mike Bailey. The referee did not see who started the pin first, so he awarded both of them the winner, making the match for the international champion a three-way match, triple threat. Kenny Omega, Speedball Bailey. I don't think they're calling him Speedball Mike Bailey. At least the thing is said Speedball Bailey on the graphic for Dynasty. And Ricochet in a match that, whoo, is going to be cooking in Dynasty in a few weeks. What are your thoughts on the match as overall, and then also on the finish with the double pin?
Definitely a very creative finish, one that has not happened very often, but a very unique way to end that match. I think last week I kind of brought it up that I thought for sure we would see Ricochet in this match, hometown guy, and maybe not hometown guy, the Bill Lane from Las Vegas, but being a Eagles fan and having that flair to it, I thought we would see him in the match at some point. But the way the match ended was very unique. It was interesting. The double pin. I think that's to probably have Speedball Bailey probably is going to eat the pin at Dynasty. I think maybe they're going to try to keep Ricochet from being pinned for a little bit to protect him. And
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I don't think Kenny's losing the belt anyways, but I think it's just a guy to take a pinfall. But I thought it was a pretty interesting finish. I don't know if I love it. I don't hate it because it is unique. It's something a little bit different. Kind of what was a little interesting on how it was set up. It was something different. And that's all you can ask for is sometimes different is good. Sometimes, just being different just to be different is an interesting way to go. But I thought overall it was a really good match. Took up about 30 minutes of the show. It was a great way to open it. And now we have a triple threat of Dynasty. Should be a really, really high packed, intense, action driven match. All three of those guys are going to perform and deliver. So okay with the match result, and looking forward to the matchup itself at Dynasty.
Yeah, no, I think the finish was a little bit, I was confused. I didn't realize that you could have two winners in a match, to be completely honest with you. But I think it was a good ending. Like you said, it doesn't happen all the time or very often at all. And so I'm good with it from a creative standpoint. It helps make it so that Kenny doesn't have to eat a pin or somebody else doesn't have. And you said Speedball Bailey's going to take the pin. I actually think it could be Ricochet taking the pin. And this might be a feud brewing between Speedball Bailey and Ricochet that leads into like Double or Nothing. I think that's kind of where I see it going. So I see Ricochet eating the pin here. And then I think we get a program built pretty quickly, or I would hope so, for Omega and Okada. And let that just brew a little bit. I don't know if they even need to have a match for Double or Nothing. Maybe the spectacle of the night, or maybe because I saw the rumor last weekend that the idea may be to have Omega and Okada fight it All In, and they're going to unify the Continental and the International belts. So maybe they have a match at Double or Nothing, and maybe it ends in DQ, setting up a match for Winner Takes All. maybe that's where it goes. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But I think Ricochet will take the pin at Dynasty. But no, I like this match. It was a really good match. Orange Cassidy, with Orange Cassidy, he just played that role so well. Mark Davis, I was worried about him being a singles wrestler because he's been a tag team guy for the majority of his career, but he looked really good. And so I'm interested to see what the Don Callis family does, because it seems like they're losing a lot. So this usually is a position where something's going to, like, a feud's going to break out between the Don Callis family, and maybe we get the Murder Machines and then you Aussie Empire fighting or whatever. I don't know exactly what that leads to as well, but and then Speedball is Speedball. He's going to do the cool flippy stuff that everybody hates him for whatever reason. I thought it was cool that when he was coming down the entranceway, like, he was like karate kicking the fans instead of giving them high fives. Just one time you miss and hit him in the face, you're going to be asked to stop doing that, Speedball.
But it'd be funny as hell. It'd be a great way to turn heel, I tell you that. I will say, if I can intervene really, really fast, I could see the Speedball Bailey versus Ricochet feud kind of leading into Double or Nothing. That would be fine. I definitely think we're going to get Omega versus Okada at All In Texas. I don't want to see this match until Texas. Do not give it to me at Double or Nothing and then do a follow-up at Phantom Door, and then we get the trifecta at All In. Do not do that. Give me the one match at All In. Let us build to it and build it up. Do not give it to me at all on a Dynamite. Do not give it to me at all on a pay-per-view before that. My only question is, how do we get to All In Texas? Because we can keep Okada off of TV, because God forbid we can't defend that title at all.
Right.
But it's just gonna be interesting to see how we kind of get towards Omega with that. But I will tell you real quick before you kind of I give it back to you. If we do the winner take all for both belts, what a clever way. I don't know if they're going to do this, but boy, what a clever way it would be to call that the AEW Intercontinental Championship by mixing them both. And that would be a great way to play it off. People could be like, are going to be like, oh, they're just copying WWE belts. They're just doing this and that. Hey, listen, we combined two belts. We made it one. That's a clever way of doing it if that's a direction.
Right. So with this year, with Forbidden Door is actually in August London. This year.
Yeah, it's that's right. Yep. So we don't have a pay-per-view in June, do we?
No. So it'll be Double or Nothing, month off to lead us into All In, and then we get Forbidden Door after All In.
I'm happy with that. I like that. Okay, that makes it much better then.
So I don't think we see Okada Omega fight. Like you said, that's the big money match. That's going to sell All In just by itself. So I agree with you. I don't think they should fight. But if they want it to play like winner takes all, the belts are getting unified, I could see them doing a match where Kenny and Okada fight at, let's just say, Double or Nothing. And let's just say you bring the Elite back, the Young Bucks and Jack Perry come back and interfere. That I don't want it to happen, but I could see that being the storyline many people. I'm good.
Hate to interrupt you again. In that case, though, of what you said, with Forbidden Door being moved to August, it's going to be in London. I'm trying to remember when it takes place, but if it's usually, I thought it was usually in April. It could be May, but I tell you what, they may push it back to June. Although this kind of needs to be its own pay-per-view, but it's not, and it's not been, so it makes sense. But the Blood and Guts thing, I don't know if you can do the Elite versus Omega's team. I mean, I think we're going to lead it to the Death Riders versus Copeland, maybe, and Jay White. I would say FTR, but we'll get to them in a little bit. But I just want to keep build up, build it up. Give me a little bit of physicality involved. Give me some promos. mention their history, but just do not give me a match between Omega and Okada at all until we get to Texas. And I love the way AEW is building their next pay-per-views, but building to their biggest show of the year, 3 to 4 months away. I think they're doing a great job with doing this, the now storytelling and the now storylines to get to their next pay-per-view, but also building towards their penultimate, you know, biggest show of the year. We want to main event that card because that is going to be the biggest crowd of the year. It's going to be the most eyes on us. I want to main event that, but we still got a ways to go and we want to build that up too. So I think they're doing a really good job with.
And I love that the last
couple months.
And I love how they're building up the Owen tournament. Like last year,
earlier.
Last year, it kind of seemed like an afterthought. Like, oh, here's the Owen. Here's everybody. And this year, it's like Ospreay's like, I'm going into the Owen because I want a main event All In. And Hangman, same thing. And so
the last 2 years, it's made it, like you said, last year was kind of like, oh, hey, guys, here's the Owen. And then we just kind of got presented to it. It was okay. Great outcome for sure. But because of the last 2 years where we know where it's going to go, where you main event All In, now it's starting to get some prestige with it. And having, like you said, Hangman and possibly MJF and definitely, you know, Ospreay, we're building that tournament up a month, about a month beforehand, month and a half. So AEW is doing a really.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Good job at trying to build up the shows, the upcoming tournament, the upcoming things that are happening. We're getting a good run to build up to that and actually get people excited about it, anticipate it really well, and hype it up really good. So, yeah, I think this year, so far in 2025, I really feel AEW has done a really good job with the build of their characters, the build of their stories, the build of their storylines, and the build of their shows. And it's done really well, I think.
And I think you're absolutely correct with that, and it shows in the numbers, at least on the TV. Again, we don't know the max numbers, but 5 weeks ago they averaged 563,000 watching live on TBS. The week next to that, 598. 2 weeks ago, 600,000. Last week they were at 628, and then yesterday they did 658K live. And so it seems like they're building the product up. People are buying into the booking. And obviously you have those AEW marks that are haters, the WWE guys, technical difficulties, it looks like on his side. But anyways, you have the WWE stands, welcome back. I don't know. Internet problems.
I don't know if anybody heard me or not, so I just refreshed it.
Oh, gotcha. So numbers are going up. And obviously, you're going to have those WWE fans that are like, you still can't beat NXT. We're up almost 100K in live views over the last 5 weeks. So yesterday was the biggest viewed show in 2025. AEW's on the right trajectory. But I look at it this way. I've come to the conclusion that AEW is, and I kind of briefly kind of mentioned it in my solo episode last weekend, they're not meant for this big mainstream audience. They're not going to get 2 million people to watch a Dynamite. As much as we would love to see it, I think we just have to come to the understanding it's just not going to happen. It's built for a niche market, and that's exactly what they want it to be, and that's what we're just going to have to accept. And now, again, these numbers don't include the max numbers, and so we don't know the max numbers, but let's make an assumption that 20%, and then that might be too high. I don't know. Again, we don't know the full amount. Let's just say 20% of their total live viewership comes from Max and 80% on TBS. You take that 658, 20% of that's 131, almost 132,000. They're almost at 800K between the two, if that's the case. And again, I might be overstating how many people watch on Max. but the numbers are about where they've been at their peak after the whole incident with CM Punk and all of that. Like, they never hit a million after that again, and I don't think they ever will, just because they're aiming for their niche market. And we'll get kind of more to that in a little bit, where they're aiming for their niche market. But let's move on to the next big piece. What a Dynamite debut for Billy Starks. Battling for the TBS title. And I thought she was really impressive. And I've been a Billy Starks fan. And hold on 1 second. I noticed something. This ain't Ricky Starks. This is Billy Starks with a Z. So, sorry, we chose the better Starks. We let the other one go to the other company. Anyways, I've been a Billy Starks fan for the longest of time. And I heard before this match that we already knew Mercedes Moné was going to win. This wasn't going to get Billy Starks over, but I thought she looked really good, even in a loss. You think she got over in this match?
I think she did. That was a pretty wicked spot right at the end of the match, and Mercedes felt like she got dropped on her head. But it seems like no harm, no foul. The match was really good. It was very, very good. I think Billy got a good rub with Mercedes. The only issue I would have with it is that she gets relegated back to ROH, and then we don't see her for another year. Which, I mean, God, she's so young. So, I mean, it's not like, hey, if we don't push her now, it's never. It's kind of like Nick Wayne. People get frustrated with Nick Wayne with as much talent as he has. And I'm like, guys, listen, he's still 20, 21 years old.
Right.
It's not that if he doesn't get over now, it's never. It's a slow process with those, with Billy and with Nick Wayne. Just give more reps, give more time. It's fine. It's okay right. If they're not going to be the most over thing in the world. But no, I think that she did a good job and definitely got over in the crowd. I just am interested to see where it goes for her from here. Maybe the rub will get her to where maybe she could beat Athena for the ROH Women's Champion and kind of stays in that area while Athena makes a jump. Because, boy, we are teasing the hell out of getting.
Well, we are.
we are teasing the hell out of it in March, and the show's not for another 3.5 months.
So Sean Ross Sapp put out an article this afternoon. And by the way, shout out to Fightful and Sean Ross Sapp. Sean Ross Sapp said he appreciates my support because he has the best $6 in the business. If you want the best scoops, check out Sean Ross Sapp. He cussed out his company today because they posted something before he was able to vet it. So he really does care about making sure he's not Dave Meltzer and just says stuff that's notifiably false. But anyways, he posted an article that there is a possibility we get Athena versus Mercedes Moné at AEW Dynamite. Dynasty. In 2 weeks, the idea may be, this isn't just one match. This may be a trilogy. But I have a different and alternative solution to this. Now, this has to involve people knowing the backstory with Athena and Billy Starks. The past 2 years at the ROH Final Battle pay-per-view, Billy Starks has fought Athena for the ROH Women's Championship and has lost both times. Here's my thought process. And now, I might be wrong, but maybe not. If we have Athena and Monet at Dynasty in 2 weeks, what's to say Athena doesn't win? It allows Mercedes Monet to take a couple of months off of AEW time, go overseas, defend her Rev Pro belt, defend her IWGP belt, or not IWGP, her New Japan Strong Women's Strong. Title.
Yep.
Athena holds the TBS belt. And then we build through ROH and we build through AEW a Billy Starks versus Athena Part 3 at All In. And it's not Athena and Mercedes Monet at All In. We get Athena and Billy Part 3, where Billy finally captures gold against Athena. Now, I get it. It's not the marquee match where Billy Starks or where Athena and Mercedes Monet could be. But like I really do think All In is going to be a home show for Omega and Okada. Like that has to be the big show, the big match. And so if this rumor is true where we might get Athena earlier than All In, like it could make sense because everybody thought Billy should have won at Final Battle in December, and she didn't. I was really, really upset to see she didn't win. So personally, I love Billy Starks. I think she is a legit prodigy in the game. And I don't know. I kind of have the same opinion you have with Okada and Omega. Like, I don't know if Athena and Mercedes Moné should touch each other until All In. But if they're going to give it to us early, we're either getting a three-part trilogy where we have Dynasty and then we have Double or Nothing leading to the finale at All In. I don't know how that works unless you're doing a winner-takes-all type of thing. But I think Billy Starks has a little bit more to say in this with Mercedes Monet than just that I lost and now I'm relegated back to ROH. And I hope to see more Billy Starks on AEW television. It'll be interesting to see, though, when Athena gets brought onto TV. Because until that happens, it's really hard to tell the story through social media tweets and stuff and just rumors and innuendo.
I don't disagree with you. I think that there's only 2 weeks left until Dynasty, which I mean, to me, it seems like, man, we just got done with Revolution and we're almost already at Dynasty. But I would not like to have Mercedes and Athena at Dynasty at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to save that for sure until All In. But we need to bring Athena on TV. Maybe have Mercedes face whomever at Dynasty. Have her face whomever at Double or Nothing to kind of be a filler. And then maybe at the top of the ramp, as soon as she wins, you know, Athena finally comes out and lays down the gauntlet. We get a little bit of Athena on TV, maybe wrestling a couple matches on Collision and Dynamite, and then we just build and build and build until we finally get to All In and we have them face off.
Right. See, I think it would be cool if at Double or Nothing, Athena does, like, they kind of replicate the finish of the first Double or Nothing, where Moxley comes out of the crowd and beats the ever-living shit out of Jericho and Omega. And so we can kind of, one, do that callback, but two, you bring Athena on in a way that's like she's instantly getting heel heat, and she doesn't cost the finish of a match.
I wouldn't even say heel heat. It'd be more like a tweener in that case. She's right. being both the face and the heel. She didn't have to be a true face or a true heel. Just would be a tweener. Right. But, I mean, that's a good idea, though.
And so, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I agree with you. We have such little time to progress anything for Dynasty. And I know they've been kind of Twitter beefing the last couple of days. Athena and Mercedes obviously setting up, teasing it. They're teasing it like hell on social media. Oh, yeah. So, and I love it. I love it that they're keeping it going. We move on. So before we get to the last couple matches or main matches, Ospreay had a match with AR Fox, and it's kind of like hard for me to comprehend that like the least talked about match is a Will Ospreay match. But like, man, that match was really good. And I am always impressed with AR Fox, like the experience that he brings to the ring. And Ospreay obviously is one of the best in the world. So I just want to give a quick shout out to Ospreay. I don't know if that match was like a, hey, we can't get X, Y, and Z to the show because of the blizzard. Ospreay, you're in town. Can you do something? Because it kind of seemed last minute that was announced. And so for what it was, they filled time really well. The show went by so fast. By the time the Ospreay match was on, it was almost like 9:45. And I was like, oh, they're going to get two matches in 15 minutes. So it was fun. Let's talk, though, about probably the most talked about and maybe the most controversial match of the night. I'm going to call it the Spike Spot from Hell, because that street fight was absolutely brutal. So we start outside of the arena. John Moxley comes through the outside. It's a blizzard. He's, you know, sweatshirt and a beanie. And Copeland is tights on with no shirt, chasing after him in the cold. I'm sure if anybody was outside, they were wondering what the fuck is going on. And they start fighting in what looked like the prop truck, because you saw Jeff Jarrett's guitar. it looks like
that was weird.
You saw while Copeland was trying to hit Moxley with the guitar, a painting fell off the wall or something. I don't know what it was. It was just a weird.
So Swerve Strickland's locker room sign.
It was
just wild stuff.
It was a interesting beginning. They go through the crowd. The setup of that arena was pretty cool. I love the arena setups first. Like, they're very interesting. Like, they were in Vegas for Collision on Saturday, and they were at, like, a ballroom, basically, like a movie theater. And so it was an interesting setup there. And these matchups are always fun. And we just – they go through the crowd. They beat the ever-living shit out of each other. Copeland steals somebody's beer and drinks it or whatever. But then we get back to the meat of things, and – I don't know what AEW does with their commentary tables, but they're like triple reinforced because they never break. They never break. Those
things are like concrete.
Yeah, they never break. And it was just brutal. And then we get to the Spike Spot. And Spike comes out and Copeland whips him across the chest with it, puts it down, and like, was it a pile driver or a DDT or whatever it was, onto Spike. lodging itself in Moxley's back to the point to where it actually it stuck inside of him. And I don't know if that was planned or if they just misjudged how much force to use during the feud, because commentary said it was gross, but I don't know if they were playing it up. They did that close-up shot where they were trying to yank it out and it was like leaking blood. And it was gross. Wheeler Yuta comes out and Moxley, just thinking four steps ahead, tells him, "Don't worry, do your spot, do your spot." He you can visually see him say, "Do your spot." Takes the move on the outside. The referee finally pulls the spike out of Moxley's back. And then they get that close-up shot where there was like it looked like he went through a meat tenderizer with all the little jabs or an aerogator when they aerogate a lawn, like you see the mini holes in the back of John Moxley. And with the dude, his plane got canceled. He drove 11 hours to get a couple spikes lodged in his back. Like it's nothing. You know, he didn't sleep on his back last night. He slept on his stomach.
He will be sleeping on his side and on his stomach for a while.
Yeah. And I get it. And I'm sure the comment section is full of, it's too much, it's this, that, and the other.
Not yet.
It might be coming. I don't know if the guy that I assume would say it is watching or not. But there are people that are saying it was unnecessary, that it doesn't build the fan base. It's this, that, and the other. And I have my views on it. But my question, did you enjoy this match better than their pay-per-view match just a few weeks ago? And secondly, are you okay with this level of grotesqueness on TV?
Yes, I enjoy this match much more than their pay-per-view match. If anything, this should have been on the pay-per-view for sure. I don't care about the level of violence they did. They didn't do a flaming table. They didn't have glass. I'm pretty sure that spot was not supposed to go like that, but stuff happens. I don't think we'll see Spike in AEW anytime soon. But.
Well, unless it's Spike Dudley.
I'm going to be. That's a good point. Yes. Well, that's a good point. I'm going to be 100% honest with you and say I was flabbergasted at the fact this was halfway through the show. And I have a couple of theories as to why. And this isn't me trying to be an AEW stan and defend them and they can do no wrong. I truly feel that I try to play both sides of the foot when it comes to almost any sort of situation. I mean, there's things I don't like the Rock promo from a few weeks ago on SmackDown I hated. But obviously we've all kind of seen what's been happening and it's kind of making sense. But anyways, I didn't love the fact that it was halfway through the show. And the only thinking that I have is, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer in the match because it was very entertaining. I enjoyed it. It was good. A couple of the reasons that come to mind is why is this halfway through the show? Why are they doing this now? If Moxley is going to retain, then why did we have that main event Revolution when Moxley retained? Could have had the women's match, even though Mariah or Toni Storm retained. It was a much bigger built storyline. It still kind of reflected back to Revolution, where I'm still kind of upset that Toni and Mariah didn't main event. But the only thing I can think of was I don't know what the crowd number was. WrestleTix usually updates the final counts the day after the shows, like day after Raw, day after SmackDown, day after Dynamite, and I haven't seen it. And I'm wondering if he may have a ticket count, but I'm sure the crowd was smaller because of the fact that there was a blizzard. With that being said, I know that I believe they were doing a double taping of Collision and Dynamite, which if they were, you saw the Collision announce table little attachment that they put on the announce table to indicate the show that you're watching. you could see that announce table top as they were walking into the arena. But anyways, I'm pretty sure they did a double taping, and I'm assuming that they wanted to do it halfway through to tell the crowd, hey, we're not done with Dynamite. We still got a few matches to go. And this is also to try to get you guys to stay, because if that match would have main evented, I'm sure quite a few people would have left. The collision taping would have been much smaller, and it would have not looked good at all. So I'm sure that they're trying to keep people entertained, but also to keep people in their seats to watch the rest of Dynamite and Collision. That's my guess. I still didn't love it. Weird placement. I'm glad the women main evented. Good job, Tony. You kind of listened to us on the main eventing. However, it was the wrong match. It should have been Tony versus Mariah. I digress. I'll get to my thoughts on that match in a little bit of when we talk about it, because I've got a – there's a good thought process on that one. Good match. Very entertaining. The violence is not a problem because it's an alternative. If you don't like it, watch what you like. Watch what you don't – or don't watch what you don't like. ECW fan – 20 years later – the fans and the hardcore fans of ECW and the loyalists of ECW begged for this.
Right.
And said this, you know, the ECW fan base was one of the most loyal fan bases in the world. They were a niche group, but they loved their product and defended their product and still do to this day. We get something kind of similar to that, and people hate it. And it's like, oh my God, there's just no pleasing everybody, and especially those that are pro or anti AEW. They're always going to be that way. You're not going to change their mind. And AEW just needs to continue to do what they're doing, because the ratings have gone up. And I think it's there's no secret that it's because of the storylines and the character development. The perfect wrestling company doesn't totally exist, but one of the most perfect formulas is to give great matches, entertaining matches, but good characters, great storylines, building storylines. Keeps people engaged and entertained, and it's kind of the WWE formula, yes, but put a little bit of WCW with it too, with the whole athleticism and high-flying matches, but also the WWE side of great storytelling, and AEW is kind of showing they can do that, and it's been great over the last month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah, no, so I don't understand this argument from these people to say that, like there's people saying that Moxley can't wrestle, essentially is what they're saying, that he has to have props and blood and gore. But like, Moxley can wrestle, and he doesn't wrestle every match with, you know, a spike going through his back or whatever. Like, if you watch Moxley in early CZW, where he's getting sawzalls through the face. Like, Moxley's built for this. He is a gore wrestler, a hardcore wrestler. And there have been many others that WWE fans just kind of turn a blind eye to. Like, Mick Foley, for one. Mick Foley wasn't the most technical masterpiece. His, you know, his biggest moments were like, oh, my ear got cut off because of I fell off of a fucking 80 or 30 foot structure, or hey, I can't walk barely anymore because of all of these steel cage matches that I've had and all of this other stuff. They prop up Terry Funk, and for good reason. Terry Funk was very good at what he did at that genre of wrestling. And the thing is, I think the PG era of WWE wrestling ruined hardcore wrestling, because a WWE fan's version of a hardcore match is like Legos in the middle of the ring or something. Like, if you had a street fight, it's not thumbtacks or glass, it's Legos. Or like, if it had a thumbtack, like we had the Jericho Moxley's thing where the single thumbtack went through the arm. But hardcore wrestling is a genre that a niche, pretty large niche of fans enjoy. There are indie wrestling companies every weekend that have fans bring whatever fucking tool that you could find in your backyard matches. And you have light poles and just random crap being used as weapons. And it has a following. Granted, it's not the most, you know, the biggest subsect of pro wrestling, but there is a market there. And AEW has, from its inception, been the group of people, because if I remember correctly, Tony Khan's favorite wrestling promotion growing up was ECW.
Yep.
And so that's Tony Khan's stuff. He loves that kind of wrestling, and he has hired and signed guys that enjoy, and girls, because to be honest, here recently, a lot of the more hardcore street fight stuff has been from the women's division. You know, Anna Jay, Ty Mello, Willow, Chris Statlander, like they all love that kind of. Sky Blue loves it. Sky Blue wants to do, like, I don't know. I think Sky Blue would be okay getting the spike through the back. She's freaking crazy. and Julia Hart and all of, like, the women are willing to do that stuff because that's just a style of wrestling that I think if you grow up on the indie scene, like, you see it every weekend. And so I think Tony Khan wants to include every subsect of pro wrestling and try to give his fans a little bit of everything. Because he knows he has some ECW fans that watch AEW. And so he wants to give them that, the nostalgia of the Terry Funks or New Jack or whatever. Like, New Jack's in the WWE video game this year. Like, he basically killed a man.
I was going to say, that's one of the most violent wrestlers in the history of wrestling. Right. Like you said, I mean, TK has a track record of this. The St. Patrick's Day, the whole thing with Britt and Thunder Rosa, the Ty Mello and Anna Jay tag match, Willow. That's just the women's side of it. But then, of course, you know, the barbed wire exploding death match at Revolution, that was a bust. It was still a hardcore type of match. The dog chain matches with Brody Lee and Cody and MJF and Punk. The glass spots we've had with Darby and Sting, especially last year, the thumbtacks. Jack Perry. Let's not forget the fourth or fifth Dynamite after COVID was our show in Charlotte in July, Fight for the Fallen. And we got one of probably the most gory match I've ever seen in person with Jericho and Nick Gage.
Right.
And Bojangles Coliseum was sold out.
That match, they stopped showing Nick Gage on that match. He brought a pizza cutter out there, correct?
Yes, he did.
And yeah, he brought the pizza cutter out. And Domino's, I think, pulled their sponsorship. And so I think at that point, Tony Khan was like, okay, we'll back it up a little bit. Like, we won't murder a man on TV.
As you see, Nick Gage is no longer on AEW television.
Right. Right.
But it happens. Right. And TK is not afraid to do it because that was what he grew up for. And there is a very good niche market for that. It's not every week you need it. It's not even every month or every 2 months. It caters to the specific wrestler, like a Moxley, like a Mark Briscoe. But you don't need it every week. You don't need it every month. You just need it in certain situations. And last night was one of them.
Right. And hopefully that's the end of Cope and Mox fighting. I don't need a third match of that saga. I think so. We get into the aftermath of this match. FTR and Cope are in the ring. And Dax. So, are they splitting up FTR? Because Dax just walked out on him, didn't shake Copeland's hand. It was really weird. And he's been doing this thing, like, especially with the last couple of matches against the Undisputed Kingdom, where he's kind of given heel tactics, not shaking hands, not, you know, doing any of that. And so I don't know if they're splitting up FTR or if they're teasing a FTR versus Edge and Christian match. Those are the two biggest theories that I've seen were, oh, yeah, we're splitting up FTR, which Man, I don't know how I would feel about that. But it's also the Edge and Christian versus the FTR dream match that we all may be wanting. Though I don't know how that plays its part, because Christian's goons came out to help Moxley. But if you have any thoughts on FTR, you're free to share, my friend.
I really hope they're not going to lose that. I think that'd be a travesty. I understand sometimes at some points tag teams break up, but this is almost like the Andersons, where you don't right. see them breaking up. I think it's going to either lead to just a heel turn, or they kind of come to their senses. I think that the biggest thing is probably they're feeling it's Dax is frustrated as hell that no matter what they do, the Death Riders always find a way. And that's in a way showing raw emotion of, damn, everything we do, no matter what, they still show up. They still win. They still come out on top. They sneak one away. Like, what the hell else can we do? So maybe that's kind of where that's going. It's just a lot of frustration, and it's going to take Dax and Cash and maybe Cope or maybe Jay White or whoever to come up with a big game plan and to say, listen, they're getting ahead of us. They're in our heads. They're winning because they're trying to divide us within, and it's working. Let's think rationally, you know, kayfabe standpoint, but think rationally. Let's come together. Let's find a game plan. Let's try to overcome this. Right. So I think that's kind of where that is leading to. I really hope they don't break up. I'm sure one of them would be – they could probably be good singles wrestlers, but, gosh, you know, they've been tag teams for so long that you would have thought that they would have split up by now if that was the case. But
right.
Should be interesting to see kind of how the next couple of weeks turn out for FTR. But if anything, maybe it's going to lead to a heel run.
Heel FTR, what I think should,
yeah, and they can be great heels. I think one of two things happens, and I'm kind of going in roundabouts here, but either somebody from that side, like a Cope or Jay White or FTR, turn heel, join the Death Riders, and then cost the Death Riders everything, and basically is like turning like a double turn. We're turning just to fool them, and then we're actually faces, but we're trying to be heels. Or we just kind of get to the Moxley versus Ospreay match at All In, and that's how the world title gets off of Moxley. Well, it's down the road. I don't know for sure yet. But
So speaking of Moxley, this is honestly where I think it goes. And you're probably going to hate my theory, but this is the theory that I see it. I think Swerve wins at Dynasty. We pull the belt off Moxley. Swerve leaves at Dynasty or wins at Dynasty, Double or Nothing. We're gonna get part four: Swerve versus Adam Page, Hangman versus Swerve, part four. That's just the way that I see it going. I think Swerve wins, and then we get to All In, and I mean, you could have Ospreay. I think it would be cool. Now imagine we get the Owen, and obviously, the winner gets the main event at All In. What if Bryan Danielson enters the Owen and wins it, and we get a rematch at All In this year again, where Swerve lost to Danielson, and we just kind of, because it would just make sense. Swerve won the belt at Dynasty last year. He lost it at All In last year. So you can kind of throw, like, I got to beat Danielson into the ring. Plus Danielson never said that he was gone. Who mentioned Darby Allin yesterday? Was that Moxley or Hangman?
MJF did.
MJF mentioned Darby.
Yep.
They mentioned him. I mean, I think that's always the picture is giving Darby the belt. I don't know. Maybe Darby plays into the scene in the world title picture. It's just, I don't know. The world title scene's kind of weird, because until it gets off of Moxley, you really don't really know who's in the picture at this point.
I don't disagree with that. I see it as we get, I think Swerve loses at Dynasty. I don't know who faces Mox at Double or Nothing. It could be Hangman. It could be Swerve again. It definitely could be Danielson. It is in Arizona. It's kind of his second home. His home is in Washington. But I could see.
So
I think eventually we're going to get to another Danielson-Moxley match where Danielson gets his revenge. I can't see it happening for the world title because Danielson's right. not going to be full-time anymore.
Right.
And there's no reason to put the world title back on him. I think we could see Danielson Ospreay win the Owen, beat Moxley for the title, and then either at Forbidden Door or even All Out, get Danielson versus Moxley where Danielson gets his revenge, or even wait until a year after at Wrestle Dream, wherever that may be, right. and have Danielson beat Moxley and get his revenge. I don't know how we kind of get to that, and I don't really know where we go with if Swerve loses at Dynasty, what happens at Double or Nothing. Your theory right. doesn't – it's not that I hate it. It does make sense. I just – I don't know. I feel like we're really starting to portray Ospreay as kind of the head honcho in AEW right now. And Swerve is there too. Don't get me wrong. Heyman and MJF are there too. But I just kind of see as now that we've kind of got Ospreay as one of the first people to kind of mention about All In, I want to do this at All In, that's now going to be that storyline of him being that head of the AEW guy. Let me carry the torch. I'm ready for it. Let me do it.
Right.
And, so I think that's where we're going to go with it. It's just going to be interesting to see how we kind of get to not only Dynasty, but Double or Nothing. And if it goes the way that I think it does, how we get to All In with the Death Riders thing and Moxley and all that stuff.
Right. So one final question on this match, then we'll get to the last match of the night. There is a wrestler with some ties to Jon Moxley that is a rumor to be almost maybe cleared to wrestle again. You mentioned earlier about maybe there's somebody that kind of double turns and beats the Death Riders from within. What if that somebody is this guy and it's the guy himself, Eddie Kingston? Him and Moxley have a relationship. My understanding is he's been rehabbing for a while and he had a couple setbacks, but he should be almost clear to wrestle. I don't know exactly when. Maybe it's one of those things to where he doesn't win the belt off of Moxley, but he comes out and he kind of like, Mox, like, what are you doing? Tries to put some, you know, bring some sense to Moxley. Like, why are you, you know, doing this? Why are you, you're not this guy. I know who you are. Think about your kids type of thing. I know Eddie had some cryptic Instagram posts about AEW doesn't need me anymore. And so maybe they're playing into that. I don't know. You think Eddie could play a part in this feud at any point?
He could. He could definitely be one of the guys that maybe joins the Death Riders and then costs Moxley everything. Maybe tries to get some sense into him and then says, all right, you know what, Mox, you win. I want to join you. I want to be with you. I bled with you. I want to stand by your side. And he joins the Death Riders and then turns on him. Maybe that could be kind of a thing that happens at All In where maybe Eddie comes back at Double or Nothing and plays into this whole Mox, you need to snap out of it. But it leads to Eddie joining him, but his whole plot is to break the Death Riders from within and then cost them everything at All In and
right.
leads it to maybe Ospreay getting the title. I wouldn't want Kingston to be the world champion. I just don't.
Right. Well, and you can set up
kind of like that Mick Foley type of character in AEW.
Right.
But I don't think he has that backing quite like Mick did. And I can't see a full Eddie Kingston title run. I'm sorry. I just can't. But
Right. Well, you could set up Mox and Kingston at, let's just say, like a Forbidden Door, where it's that type of wrestling, the New Japan style that they both excel at, is what you're going to get at every match. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to maybe see where that plays, where Eddie Kingston may fit in. All right, here we go. Let's get to the last match. Now, I nicknamed this match last week, and I want you to see what I nicknamed the match because I thought it was fucking phenomenal. All right, it's the Mommy Meat match between Chris Statlander and Megan Bain. Slapping meat. Shout out to the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast, DJ Wavy D, and We Too Deep over there on the casual wrestling community. We disagree a lot, but shout out to you. The Mommy Meat match. What was your thoughts of Chris Statlander and Megan Bain?
It frustrates me because I'm glad that the women main evented and they put on a damn good match. They did. But man, this is a pay-per-view quality type of match. It is. And maybe that's why they didn't want to do it on pay-per-view, because it would get lost in the shuffle and they deserve a main event type of spot. I get it, but man, I really felt that this could have been a great match that could have led to a pay-per-view match. And then the winner of that becomes number one contender for Double or Nothing or something like that. I thought they had a spectacular match. They are surely putting a rocket on Megan Bain right now and shooting her up the moon for sure. I just don't know if I don't know where Statlander goes unless she challenges Monet for the TBS title again, or she costs Bain the title at Dynasty. That's going to be an interesting match between Tony and Bain at Dynasty, but I would have rather see Bain win the Owen and fight for Tony at All In. I think you're going to get a face on the men's side no matter what. And I think if Tony's going to keep it to All In, you got to have a heel to kind of counter that. And Bain's a heel. That would have been a perfect opportunity for her. And it could still happen, but
right.
Great match. Glad that the main event of Dynamite. But it's going to be interesting. If Bain loses at Dynasty, does it really kill her steam? Does she just get lost in the shuffle? What kind of happens with that? It definitely delivered last night. I think it's just not going to be kind of interesting to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, it was – I loved the match. I think Megan Bain – like, I've been calling for Megan Bain to be in AEW for several years now, at least a year and a half now. And Megan Bain, man, she's just really good in the ring. She's what I think AEW envisioned they wanted to do for Jade Cargill, except she's not green in the ring. And that's no knock at Jade Cargill. She was really good at what she was doing. She just didn't have the wrestling experience. And I don't know in present day, if she would be doing what Megan Bain is doing. But Megan Bain is just absolutely phenomenal. And you're right. She has the rocket strapped to her back. And I don't know if this is too, like, I feel like this is a little too early for her to get a world title opportunity, because like you said, if she loses, what does this do for her? Because there's really nothing else at this moment in time that you can really throw her into. And with someone with so much momentum, you almost have to think that she would win the match. But what then happens to Toni Storm? Like, and you're kind of in a catch 22 here, and maybe this is an instance of where, like, hey, Toni Khan, like, if I don't know if we need to add any more belts, and I really don't, because we have a bajillion of them. But if we're getting rid of one and we need to build another one, maybe there's a room for an additional women's belt to kind of because you have so many wrestlers, but a limited amount of space in this women's division to really give a meaningful position. So if you're merging, let's just say, the Continental and the International belt, maybe you build a third belt for the women in its place. I don't know what Tony Khan's idea is, but like, you're right. Like, where does Chris Statlander fit into things? Julia Hart's going to probably want to wrestle for the TBS belt at some point. Sky Blue. There's so many people that kind of got hurt and maybe have a storyline reason to have a claim for a belt or to get back in the fray. Like Britt Baker at some point, you would assume, shows back up. There's just so many women that deserve time and not enough places to put them on the card. And so my fear is you have Bayne lose his match. One, she's no longer undefeated, but two, she loses all momentum. And so it's, to me, it's a little early to give her a title shot. I kind of agree with you. I think it could have been great that you could build this wrestler with this dominant streak. Just have her tear up the Owen. Like, beat everybody in the Owen and beat them, you know, pretty easily. And then have her go to All In. I just have a feeling, and this is just a gut feeling, All In's in Texas, and it's Rosa territory. And you saw Rosa and Bayne have their little feud, so you maybe Thunder Rosa helps Toni Storm, or helps Megan Bayne and turns on Toni Storm, setting up All In. I don't know. Or maybe Megan Bayne loses and Thunder Rosa beats Megan Bayne and the Owen. I really don't know where it goes. There's
a couple different things you said there that could lead to it. Either Bayne wins and then fights Thunder in Texas. Maybe Thunder wins the Owen. Or you could have this could work. You could have Megan lose at Dynasty, send her into a level of pissed offness you haven't seen, and then just destroys the people in the Owen. And it's a huge, like, it's a big comeback trail. But like a, you know, like a revenge tour type of thing, and just blows through the Owen and then beats Tony at All In, as kind of a, you know, wow, did she ever come back from that loss? It didn't, you know, yeah, I may have hurt her in that beginning, but being at Owen, she just, you know, kills everybody and just becomes a dominant heel and a champion at that. That would not be a bad idea if it worked out that way. But it's almost like a fine line of whatever you do in this match, you don't want to kill the momentum of Megan Bayne solely. You don't want to put her in the loss in the shuffle. You don't want to keep her off the TV for so long. Tony's your best overall character, I think, in the company overall. So if you want to try to keep that character going as long as possible, and if she wins, obviously you're going to be fine until All In. Or if she loses, how does that look? Where does that go? I think it's a little – I don't want to flip-flop the women's title. We've already had two title changes in 3 months between one. Because Tony won it at Brisbane and then hasn't lost it since. But kind of a fine line. There's a lot of talent in the women's division, but like you said, only two belts. I don't know if I really want to add a third one. I don't even know what the hell to call it. The Max Championship. I don't know. I don't know. We're kind of running out of ways to call it. You're going to put the Women's Continental, the Women's International, the Women's Intercontinental, whatever. That wouldn't be a bad idea with as much talent in the women's division. I just don't want that to get lost in a shuffle when it becomes a meaningless title like the Continental titles become. But it'd be interesting. It's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks, especially getting into Dynasty and Dynasty and the road to Double or Nothing and ultimately, they wrote All In to kind of see how this all plays out and shapes out. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting one way or another.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I thank you guys for tuning in and watching this, if you've watched all the way through. Just one last thing before we close. Where does Mariah May go from here? Like, does she take some time off? where does does Mina Shirakawa show back up at some point in time? That'll be an interesting thing to see with how that plays. I don't know how you transition Mariah May, because she's done since the beginning of her tenure has been in this Toni Storm storyline. How do you transition her from out of the Toni Storm storyline into a new storyline? And so hopefully, I think she gets a couple months off, kind of rebuilds her character a little bit, and maybe we see her for Forbidden Door in the UK. And so I don't know, but I appreciate you guys for tuning in. I hope you're not dying over there and your neck of the woods. I appreciate everybody from tuning in next week. Like we said, episode 100 next week. So make sure to tune into that. We'll make sure it's a little special there for you. Enjoy your March Madness. My bracket's been busted since about 2 o'clock this afternoon, because Louisville had to lose, and then High Point had to lose, and then Clemson had to lose. I hope y'all have a good rest of your week. Remember, this weekend, speaking of March Madness, after the final March Madness a game on TNT, we have Slam Dunk Saturday. It is the first hour of Collision, and then Sunday is the second hour of Collision. 2 hour long shows. It's probably going to run from 11 to midnight both nights. So stay up late if you can. If not, you can watch it the next day on Max. I hope you guys have a good rest of your weekend. Hey, Tony Khan, by the way, I sold that pretty well. You should hire us to do your ad reads. Tune in next week, episode number 100. And then the week after that, we're doing our pay-per-view number 2 prediction show for Dynasty. I got to catch up because I fell behind pretty early with Revolution. We're doing the prediction show in 2 weeks. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We're on the road to All In. Wrestling is at a good point in 2025. We're at a good intersection here where it's Mania season. It's Double or Nothing leading into All In season, and every wrestling fan should have something that they should enjoy watching. But until next week, episode number 100, we will see you, and we'll end it like we always do, with Cody Marinara's final words.
Well, listen, the weather's starting to warm up for some of us. I think most of us. Spring is starting to get into the air. For paisanos like myself, we really enjoy the warmer weather. To me, it's just got a good springy feel to it. When I think of warm, homemade, springy meals, I think of really a good homemade spaghetti, but I mean, you could do a lasagna, you could do a chicken parm, whatever, eggplant parm, whatever you want. All I know is, especially with March Madness, you're going to be ordering a bunch of the pizzas, and what do pizza have in them? Sauce. And what do all of the dishes that I just list have? Sauce. So you want to make sure you get your nice, freshly, especially with the weather warming up, you get those fresh things of basil. Pop those bad boys in there and spice that sauce up a little bit. Add your seasoning, your salt and pepper. Spice up the sauce. I bet one gentleman is going to be having a lot of sauce with him over the next few days. Hopefully Sabine is taking care of him. Happy birthday, Steve Borden, Sting, Grandpa Sting, whatever you want to call him. The man's got a white beard and I'm looking a little bit like Santa Claus. Santa Sting. Maybe we'll call him that. I don't know. Happy birthday, though, Steve Borden. Hope it was a great day for you. Hope retirement is going well. Hopefully you have a nice big sauce of whatever you like. And the rest of y'all, have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see y'all next week. Enjoy your sauciness for whatever you enjoy. But in the meantime, stay saucy. Beyond.